This is the Dignity Lab, a weekly podcast in which we share stories of dignity, its violations, and its reclamation. Your dignity is your inherent worth or value. Dignity is both essential and vulnerable to harm. The good news is that no matter who you are, no matter what has happened to you, no matter what you have done, you can reclaim your dignity. Tune in to hear stories of inspiration, healing, and leadership. Hosted by physician and leadership coach, Dr. Jennifer Griggs. Welcome to the Dignity Lab. I'm Vanessa Aaron, the show's producer. In this episode, Jennifer and I define dignity and what dignity looks like in life and in leadership. Jennifer, it's so nice to be here with you today. To start us off, what do you mean when you refer to dignity?
Dignity is our inherent worth or value. It's part of our humanity. It's recognizing the humanity in others. We're talking about the value or worth that you have the very first day that you're born. Without having to do anything, you have value. Nobody would deny that a newborn baby has worth or value. They don't have to do anything. In fact, one could argue a baby is a net negative. They take away sleep, they make a mess, they have a lot of needs, but they have value and worth. They have dignity.
And what does that inherent dignity look like in the real world?
When your dignity is honored, you feel safe and secure. You have hope for the future. You have a chance to thrive and to contribute in the best way you can. It means you belong. It means that you're seen and heard, and it means that you're treated fairly, that you have autonomy. So I'm going to go through 10 elements of dignity that Dr. Donna Hicks identified in work that she's done in international settings, stories of dignity being honored and of dignity being violated. So the 10 elements are acceptance of identity, inclusion, safety, acknowledgement, recognition, understanding, being given the benefit of the doubt, fairness, autonomy, and accountability.
That's a lot of elements to remember. Is there a way that we can help our listeners organize those?
So as I've thought about and worked with people through dignity interventions and as a coach and physician, I have found that grouping the 10 elements into three groups has been really helpful because sometimes when somebody describes something that's been hurt or something they'd like to have be different, there's some overlap. So I've grouped them into three elements: belonging, being seen and heard, and justice.
Okay, that's making sense to me. Can you tell me a little bit about belonging?
Yeah, so belonging includes the three elements: acceptance of identity, inclusion, and safety. Acceptance of identity means that people are not treated as inferior or superior based on their race, ethnicity, language, religion, class, gender, sexual orientation, age, disability, or body size. Inclusion sounds like it's the same as belonging, but I think belonging encompasses these others as well. So inclusion means that people feel they belong to their family and their workplace, but also their community and their country. And then the third element under belonging is safety. People feel safe, not just physically, but also psychologically.
Okay, great. So acceptance of identity, inclusion, and safety under the heading of belonging. What's the second category?
The second one is that sense of being seen and heard, and it includes three elements as well: acknowledgement, recognition, and understanding. Acknowledgement is the sense that people have when they're listened to and their feelings and experiences are validated. So that fits to me really perfectly with people feel seen and heard. Recognition refers to people being recognized not just for their ideas, contributions, and strengths, but also for their striving, things they've tried and failed at, but they've tried. And the third one under this feeling of being seen and heard is that people are given an opportunity to express their point of view.
Being seen and heard is certainly important to me, so I can see how all three of these play really nicely into that concept. Can we move on to the third grouping?
So the third grouping is justice. And the first element I popped into that was fairness. So people are treated justly according to clear, agreed upon rules without discrimination. The next one is autonomy. So people can act on their own behalf and are allowed to feel in control of their lives. Obviously, none of us is 100% in control. But when people take away our autonomy, that certainly is a violation of our dignity. When we feel in control, we can have hope and possibility for the future. The third one is accountability, which is people taking responsibility for their actions and not just apologizing when they don't, but making amends. So actually changing the course of their behaviors. And the fourth and final one's a little bit sticky. This is benefit of the doubt, where people are treated as if they have integrity. And the reason I say this one is sticky is because everybody knows what it feels like when we're not given the benefit of the doubt. But when we're asked to give other people the benefit of the doubt, that can be really difficult because while their intent may not have been cruel, the impact is one of harm. And so when impact and intent don't line up, it can be really hard for us to give people the benefit of the doubt. So that's one that's really tricky. But, you know, if you ask them what's important to them, people do want to be given the benefit of the doubt. So I view these four under the justice umbrella.
I really appreciate how you've organized these groupings. They provide a clearer framework that helps me grasp the elements of dignity more easily. Circling back to the idea of dignity being inherent, how do you see this fitting into a broader framework of values?
There are other things that can get confused with dignity. The first is respect. I think about dignity as congenital. You're born with it. And respect is something acquired, something that you have to earn through your accomplishments, through your behaviors, the way you treat others, the way you show up in your daily life and over the course of your life. Sometimes people think that their pride being hurt is the same thing as having their dignity violated. And pride and honor, a close cousin of pride, actually refer to how you're seen by others. So dignity, again, is inherent. It's intrinsic to us. It doesn't matter how other people see us. Pride is something we can have violated if we embarrass ourselves. Honor is something that we want to protect. It's our reputation, or for women, our loyalty or our purity even.
So not as straightforward as we'd like. What trips us up? What gets in the way of honoring people's dignity?
I think there's several barriers to understanding dignity. The first is that we forget that we have worth just by virtue of being part of the human race. So when we were young, if we were not safe and secure, or if we were shamed or humiliated or subjected to bullying, we may come to believe that we don't have worth. We may come to believe that we are worth less. Other threats to dignity are forgetting that other people have worth and value. Another threat to dignity is not being mindful. So if we react acutely to something that happens, if we don't allow a pause between the stimulus and our reaction, we can violate the dignity of others and also our own dignity. So I think lack of awareness, forgetting, and reactivity can all threaten dignity, our own and others. We might behave in ways that actually hurt us.
Lack of awareness, forgetting, and reactivity, all things I've been guilty of at one point or another. In addition to not knowing our own worth or forgetting our worth, are there other ways we can violate our own dignity?
Yeah, other ways we can violate our own dignity are the way we treat our body. We can violate our own dignity by seeking validation from others to an extreme. Of course, it's wonderful to feel validated and recognized by others, but if we outsource our dignity, we are violating our own dignity. We see this in the public square when people need to take the spotlight away from others. They need to hog the limelight, if you will. They may take credit for something that other people have done because they don't see their own worth. And so some of the worst behaviors we see, I think, in leaders and in our own family, in our neighborhoods, are because people forget their own value and worth.
Right. And if it's that easy to deny or violate our own dignity, it must be even easier to violate the dignity of others.
It can be incredibly difficult to remember that other people have dignity, and so easy to violate their dignity if we interrupt people, if we exclude people, if we embarrass people, if as a leader, we joke at somebody's expense, somebody on our team, that's violating their dignity. And we might be doing it because we need connection, or we think this is a skillful way to get connection. But in fact, it violates other people's dignity. And this is something I see in leaders a lot, especially leaders who are making the transition into leadership. They forget that everything they do has a different weight to it because they are in a position of authority or even power.
Yeah. With that power dynamic, I can imagine that violations of dignity lead to things like trauma.
Yeah. Many of the violations of dignity can lead to trauma, whether it's a one-time event or it's cumulative over multiple events throughout our lives. Certainly, violations of dignity can lead to trauma. Now, they don't always. And we'll be talking later in the season about what trauma really is and how trauma is experienced. But many times, violations of dignity are traumatic.
Okay, so how has this deeper understanding of dignity affected the way you live and you lead?
Well, I came to this work after I experienced a workplace trauma. And I knew at some point I needed to forgive the people who had hurt me. And it felt like something was missing from all the forgiveness work that I was doing, not just for myself, but with clients. And once I discovered dignity, and so many people talk about discovering dignity, when I discovered dignity, it changed everything. Everything sort of fell into place for me. I could understand why what hurt the way it did. And at the same time I was going through this, my whole team was undergoing a transformation where I work. And now I lead with dignity, and dignity has become part of the everyday vocabulary of our team. It's changed everything. It's changed how I talk to my kids. It's changed how I talk to my husband, to my friends. It's changed how I understand faith traditions and the ways they can go off the rails. It's changed how I think about aging and what's next for me in life. So honestly, it's changed everything about how I live and lead.
What a great opportunity for growth. Before we wrap up today, I wanted to ask you about our upcoming podcast episodes. What are you most excited about?
I am most excited about the conversations we're going to have. We're going to be talking about compassion and suffering and meeting people's needs in a way that honors their dignity. We're going to be talking about all the ways that dignity can show up at work, how leaders violate dignity, and even more important, how they can repair other people's dignity. We're going to be talking about trauma, forgiveness, healing from trauma. I'm so excited for this season of the Dignity Lab.
Me too. Exploring the idea of dignity in my own personal journey and how I process and in how I heal has been really eye-opening for me, and I'm excited to connect those dots to the workplace. What is one wish you have for our listeners?
My wish for our listeners is that they can know and feel safe and secure. They can know and feel their own worth and value and make decisions that help them honor their own dignity and that of others in their everyday life and over the whole course of their lifetime.
That sounds amazing. I'm really looking forward to this. Thank you for your time today. This has been the Dignity Lab with Dr. Jennifer Griggs. If you have experienced a dignity violation or have a dignity dilemma and want to be a guest on our show, contact us through our website, www.thedignitylab.com. Guests may remain anonymous. And if you're a leader wanting to uplevel your leadership with a small community of like-minded people, please visit our website to learn more about our group program for leaders. Our website also has free downloadable resources. More information about our guests can be found in each episode's show notes. This season of the Dignity Lab is produced by me, Vanessa Aaron. Pete Carty is our audio engineer and sound designer. Casey Frenette is our executive assistant, and Chase Miller composed our theme music. This podcast is for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The content discussed is intended to explore and raise awareness about dignity. Sensitive topics may be discussed that could evoke strong emotions, so discretion is advised. Listeners are encouraged to engage with the material with empathy. Remember, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars.